The law is there as a guide. That's all. Let me give you an example. Son, stand up. Face him there for a moment. Now, that's my son, Charlie Buchek. You say, why don't you have the same last name? Well, because he married my daughter. You say, well, he's your son-in-law. No, I've adopted him. If I die tonight, he inherits everything I have, plus all my children, his children, and my wife. They all go to him for him to take care of. Thank you, son. Now listen to me. Several years back, maybe 7 years or so, Charlie was out of town on business. Mindy has asthma, and my daughter, my older daughter. And they lived, at the most, maybe 10 minutes away from us. And in the middle of the night, the phone rang, and I heard a voice on the other end that couldn't speak, gasping. And I knew it was Mindy, and I knew what the problem was. It wasn't asthma. There was an intruder, and she was alone with the children, and Charlie was gone. And she couldn't speak. She was so terrified. I said, I understand. I'm on the way. Shirley and I hopped in the car. We started over there. It was, I don't remember the exact time of night, 2 in the morning. I was doing about 80 to 85 miles an hour. And I have a question for you. I was in a 35-mile zone. Was I breaking the law? Now, think before you answer. If a policeman had seen me, what do you think he would have done? He would have gotten in his car, turned on the siren, I would have lowered my window and motioned him to come on up to me. And I would have yelled out the window, emergency. He would have followed me because he didn't know the way, wouldn't he? And when we got there and ran in, the question is, when it was all over, do you believe for one moment he would have given me a ticket?
No.
No, never. Why? Because my act, though it violated the letter of the law, was not an act of rebellion against the law. It was something, we were doing something to try and enforce the law, i.e., to save a life that was in jeopardy. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I want you to see that. Now, don't try and use that and bastardize it to justify sin, okay? Because, boy, it's easy to do that. I'm trying to give you something that between you and God, you ought to be able to see it. And so I want you to understand that there's times in the Bible that God is like that. That sense that you all had of real justice right then, knowing that I had not really sinned in breaking the law. See, normally breaking the law is sin. I did not sin in that act. Fortunately, the lights, someone had tripped the switches, turned the switches off the switch box. Everything had gone off. And they were trying to get in at the door. But we got there, and we never saw him. But we knew someone had been there. And so, he was moved with compassion. Put forth his hand and, watch this, touched him. Now, I want you to see two things were involved. There was a touch, that's number one. And there was a word. Watch this. Jesus touched him and said unto him, I will. See, now he knows what God's like. Now you know what God's like. You know why it's so important for you to hear this? You know why it's so important for you to be here? Because, hear me, every one of us in this room have called on God for good things, and we don't deserve it. Like this leper, we haven't done it just right. None of us in this room have, quote, done it just right. And the question is, and Satan, he'll enjoy this one. He'll remind you, you know nothing good can come to you from God. God, G-A-W-D, you know, theological, God. You haven't done everything just right. And you see, you need to know, so what's going to happen next? All right? David, this is good to know. What's God like? He's moved with compassion because he doesn't expect nearly as much out of us as our denominations do and as we do. I will. Now watch the struggle. Be thou clean. I want you to observe several things by that. I want you to observe that Jesus did not say, okay, God will heal you. Or he did not say, all right, here, let me pray for you. Observe, he did it by command. Now, I want to tell you something very important to keep in mind. Many times, Jesus tells us, and I'm not going to go through them all tonight. I've done this before. But Jesus said, hey, everything I did, I saw the Father do first. Everything I've said and done, I have heard the Father tell me to do it, and I have seen the Father show me to do it. In other words, Jesus knows what he's supposed to do. He isn't just operating, as in the vernacular of the day, very popular day, like a loose cannon on the deck. Okay? He's under authority. His Father's authority. And he is doing everything exactly as the Father says, when the Father says it. But I want you to see that he himself has been acknowledged by this man as God, and he takes over and heals. I will. Be thou clean. No man has ever been able to do this before. I want to introduce you to why. Surely you've got it figured now. Why? So that we mudballs could be absolutely certain to see the incredible chasm and difference between us and the unique only begotten Son of the Father. I'm a son of God, but not the Son of God. You hear what I'm saying? He's unique. Now, that's one of the horrors in the charismatic move today, is so many people are running around trying to pronounce things that and say that they're going to happen because they say so. Listen, I want you to understand that yes, if you hear the Father say it, if you get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom from God, and God tells you, go to the hospital and tell this person they're healed, or in the name of Jesus, rise, they're going to get up if you heard from God. And if this happens, don't bother to pray. You don't need to. Jesus didn't pray. He didn't need to. He didn't heal with His God power. He healed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible makes that clear over and over. Moreover, Jesus Himself admitted in Matthew 12 when He cast demons out of the people and He was accused of doing it by the power of Beelzebub. He said, no, I did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He just let the cat right out of the bag. He didn't defeat the devil with His own God power. He could have. He didn't. He showed us Satan isn't that tough. You can do it. See, an unfallen man could do it by walking in the Spirit. He said, but I'm not an unfallen one. Yeah, but you can still walk in the Spirit. And it's the same Spirit that's got those same gifts that enabled Jesus to do His Christian ministry. How many of you know there's only been one Christian? He's the only one that's ever been. And Jesus is the Christian in each of us right now. Only Jesus can do the ministry of Jesus. When we get in trouble trying to be like Jesus. That's a tall order. Did you know that? This is God. Do you understand that trying to be like Jesus is tougher than trying to keep the Ten Commandments? And none of us ever kept them? You hear what I'm saying to you? See, no. God doesn't want us to try and be like Jesus. We're not Avis. We don't try harder. Now, see, that's what you keep hearing from pulpits, but that's not biblical. Christianity is we surrender and yield ourselves to God. Jesus lives His life out through us. See, what I'm trying to tell you is most of you have a fairly accurate understanding of demon possession, that you're out of control. You're totally under the influence of that demon spirit so that you do what you don't want to do. Well, transfer that idea a little bit to the idea of being Jesus, Holy Spirit, possessed. That as we surrender, He does it. But He won't do it unless we surrender. When we don't surrender, that's when there's a cross to bear. That's where my will, see, God's will is going straight up and down. And my will now crosses it. And the cross is a place of death. There's a lot of bleeding on crosses. And when my will and God's will begin to cross, I'm going to bleed because He doesn't bleed anymore. His glorified body doesn't bleed, and the Father's Spirit, and you better believe He doesn't bleed. But there's blood. How many of you know you don't have to bleed to have blood flowing? You know what I mean? There's more than one way to bleed. I will. Be thou clean. Not like we read in paperback books today. All right, now, just go your way, confessing over and over, I'm healed. Let's see if that's what happened. Mark 1:42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was clean. cleansed. Beloved, let me just say this real quickly. I love that verse because God, He did a double positive, if you please. See, for Him to have said, as soon as He had spoken, the leprosy departed, that would have told it to us. How about if He had said, and immediately the leprosy departed and He was cleansed? Do you see, either one of those would have told it, but God put two of them together. As soon as He spoke it, immediately it happened. Now, my English teacher wouldn't have liked that. She used to get on me for things like that. But see, it's a double emphasis. It's really to draw our attention to, hey, I mean, it was kaboom time. I mean, instantly it was done. And I contrast that deliberately. I bring that to our attention because, listen, God heals today. It doesn't matter whether Baptists believe it or not, you know, as a denomination, or other denominations, whether they believe in it or not. It really doesn't matter. God does it. Now, I want you to understand, but He doesn't do it like we hear out of Tulsa and Dallas from blab it, grab it, name it, claim it people. You don't get everything you confess with your mouth. And I'm so glad. I can remember saying, well, I'll be damned. And I'm so glad to tell you I'm not. I was once. You hear what I'm saying? But I got out of that cycle. Hallelujah. I can remember saying things like, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. And I'm not. Hallelujah. I'm glad that you don't get everything you confess with your mouth. You hear what I'm saying to you? There's a lot of scriptures that talk to us about God healing and wanting to heal. So that we don't have to take scriptures that don't talk about healing and twist them to make it sound as though those are talking about healing. But they're talking about something else. Now, I do want to make a comment, though, about the fact that Jesus did not pray. He didn't pray because He knew the result, and therefore it's foolish to pray. Listen to me. If God speaks to you and lets you know what's going to happen, don't pray. That's foolish. See, prayer is asking God to do something. It's dumb to ask God when He's already told you what He's going to do. You don't ask someone to do something when they just told you they're going to do it. That's a lack of faith. I mean, if you want to talk about faith, that would be a lack of faith. I'll give you an example out of my life. I want you to hear this very carefully. Some of you have heard this story before, but it's the best one I've got to illustrate the point. Years ago, 12 years at least, I hadn't been in the ministry very long. I had a Bible study over in Houston in the Memorial area. And one night, a man came. I knew his wife. She was very much a charismaniac. You know, she was sweet in many ways, but she was charismaniac. You know, swinging right off the chandeliers. And, you know, spending all her time reading paperbacks and watching what the foolishness on Christian television and thinking that that's the Bible. I want you to understand that I can't take watching because everything they're doing practically is not scriptural but out of psychology and all kind of other foolishness. See, if you don't know the scriptures, you can really enjoy it. It's kind of like watching Jesus of Nazareth, the movie. It's kind of like watching the Cecil B. DeMille's films, the Ten Commandments. If you don't know much about the Bible, those are great movies. But the more you know about the Bible, scene after scene will just grieve you because they're totally unlike God. You know, it's just terrible. But at any rate, the man's name was Jack Flatt. Jack came, and he listened to me teach. His wife had been trying to get him to come for years. And he would have probably come. He'd probably gotten saved years before if she'd have just shut up. But she kept wanting to talk to him about tongues, and this guy wasn't even born again. You know, she was giving him the wrong message. She kept talking to him about miraculous healing she had seen. Wrong message. Give him the gospel of Jesus. And he fought her tooth and nail. But he finally came. And God gave me favor with him that night and through the message. And you know where it was, John. You and I met at that very Bible study, didn't we? And he got saved. He gave his heart to the Lord that night. Well, the following week, we were going to baptize. There was a swimming pool there. This was a very wealthy woman that whose home we were using. And she had an indoor swimming pool. And so I baptized a group of people, and he was one of them. afterwards. Jack and I were, I was going to teach afterwards. I'd baptized before, and then we were going to teach, and I was back trying to get my tie on and everything, and Jack and I were re-robing. And Jack began to talk to me. He said, Floyd, I've had several pretty severe heart attacks. He said, I have no idea how much longer God is going to let me live. He said, one thing I've decided tonight. He said, I've thought about it. It says, however long God gives me to live, I am going to tell people about the Lord. He said, I'm going to read God's Word and I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell people, everyone, I'm going to talk about the Lord. And I looked at him. It was very rare to ever hear a brand new Christian say anything like that. Really, it was the first one I ever heard that did. And I hadn't heard many since. Just turn me loose. And sure enough, a weird thing happened. Now, Houston's a big city. And listen, I don't know a lot of people in Houston. I say to myself, I study and pray and research. Okay? I mind my own business. I'm a private, quiet type person. As you please, I'm kind of like John the Baptist out in the wilderness, if you please. I don't mean I'm like John the Baptist in other ways. I hope you didn't. But it just seemed like for the next month or so, everywhere I went, out of the woodworks, people were rising up that I had never seen or anything. And somehow, while we were talking, they would say, by the way, I ran into a person the other day. Jack Flatt was his name. Do you know who that is? Everywhere I went, everyone was running into Jack Flatt, and he was getting back to me. And they were all telling me the same thing. Man, this guy, he is on fire. All he wants to talk about is Jesus. He's just leading people to the Lord right and left. Amazing. Everywhere I went. Great. Well, all of a sudden, I hear that my telephone rings, and I find out that it's from the family. And they tell me that Jack Flatt has had a heart attack. And that they want me to come to the hospital. We're going to have to do some open heart surgery. And I'm leaving town, so I have to leave town. And I get back, and they call me again. They said, Floyd, Jack's had his open heart surgery, triple bypass, several days ago, and everyone else that's had it is up and around, walking up and down the hospital corridors and everything, but Jack is going down. Jack is not expected to live through the night. Could you possibly come down and see him? Well, I had a Bible study down in Sugar Land, which is south of Houston, and I live way north of Houston, so I was going to drive way out of my way to swing by St. Luke's down in the big medical center that many of you know about over in Houston and see Jack, and so I'm on my way, and I'm having to leave early. And I'm on Highway 45, zipping down, and I began to talk to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to minister to Jack Flatt tonight, and I've got to know. I said, because Jack's background is such that he doesn't know anything about you, really. He may think he's going to die and go to purgatory and burn. And I want you Catholics in here to know there's no such place. So that if you die tonight, it's my great joy to tell you that the Bible says angels will immediately take your soul and spirit, the real you, the inner you, immediately to the presence of God. And then Jesus, He's going to stand up and welcome you home, just like He did Stephen. He didn't welcome Stephen home because he was a deacon. He didn't welcome him home because he was a martyr. He just welcomed him home because one of the family had come home. And I told the Lord, Lord, I have no idea how to minister to Jack. Look, if you're going to heal him, see, if you're going to take him home, he may be in fear. And I need to tell him these good things to comfort him, because his background would be such that he could have believed in purgatory. But Lord, if you're going to heal him, I can teach him about angels taking you home and so on. I'd teach him that next year. See, if you're going to heal him, all I need to do is go in and pray for him to be healed and leave. But I don't know which to do. And I told the Lord, the one thing I did not want to do was go through some holy charismatic ritual to look good and feel like, now I've done my spiritual duty and now I can get out of here. And just like you, many times, I heard nothing. And I drive down the freeway and I get off the freeway and I'm wending my way down into the medical center and I've not heard from God. Let me tell you something. God is sovereign. He rules the universe. God has never asked me for counsel. because he would like a little wisdom involved. Ephesians is very clear. God has no counselors. And I can't tell God what to do. There are a lot of people that try, but it doesn't work. It's just like a little kid trying to tell his mother and daddy, demand from them what to do. And tells them, I'm going to hold my breath unless you do it. My firstborn, Mindy, tried that on me when she was about 3 or 4. She wanted me to do something. If I didn't do it, she wasn't going to breathe. She was going to hold her breath. I wasn't stupid. I didn't do it. I knew she was going to breathe before I gave in. I mean, even if she passed out, she was going to breathe. You hear me? I wasn't even scared for 1 minute. She held her breath a long time, but she did give in. I'm trying to tell you, that's no way to approach God. If it was no way to approach an old mudball daddy, it's so certainly no way to approach the Heavenly Father. But you know, we do have wills. And I was so determined to know the heart of God that I would not yield to it. I would not yield any other way. I pulled into there's a parking garage at St. Luke's. And I pulled in to my parking spot and I turned off my motor. And I'd still heard nothing. And I said, Lord, I can't make you speak. I can't make you tell me what to do. I said, but Lord, you can't make me go in there either. And I said, Lord, I looked at my watch. I said, Lord, the way I've got it figured, for me to go in there and have 10 or 15 minutes with Jack, I've got to hear from you within, at most, the next 5 minutes. I said, because I committed in your name to be at Sugar Land tonight to teach your word at a certain time. And therefore, I should be there at that time. I made that commitment in your name before, Jack, I heard anything about needing to come down here for Jack. And I said, Lord, I can't make you do anything, but just between you and me, if I don't hear from you in 5 minutes, I am not going in that hospital unless I hear from you. And if I don't hear from you in 5 minutes, I'm going to crank up and drive to Sugar Land. Just like that. And I said, I know I can't make you do anything you don't want to do, but you look at my heart, I mean business, you mean business, I must know how to minister. See, the point is, I didn't want it for me, I wanted it to do to honor God. I wanted to know His will. And I was not going to get out of that car in that hospital just to say hello. And to make the family feel good that the great white Buana had shown up. I had barely gotten that commitment out of my mouth. Now listen to me. Until I heard as audibly as you hear me right now. And some of you, you're not going to believe it. I don't care. It's my testimony. I heard as audibly as you hear me, John 11:4. Now listen to me. I know John 11. I especially know John 11:4. And for the life of me, I could not find it in my memory. Do you hear what I'm saying? John 11:4, I know that verse. It says, and I couldn't find it. God hid it from me. Now hear me carefully. What I'm about to tell you now is not how you hear from God. I just heard from God. Do you hear me? I've already heard from God. The answer was John 11:4. If you try what I'm about to tell you as a way to hear from God, you're liable to get in a lot of trouble. I always carry my pocket Bible in my coat. I call it my pocket dagger. You know, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. Well, that's kind of small for a sword, so it's my dagger. And I pulled it out and turned on my car light, and I just opened it up, and as it opened, it fell. I mean, I just opened it. And there it was, right in front of my eyes, John 11:4. Now, if you try that as a way to hear from God, you're liable to open it up and it says, and he went out and hanged himself. Then you're not going to know what in the world to do. Again, this is not how I heard from God. God sovereignly spoke to me. This was God's method of confirming to me. The Scripture was then used to confirm to me the truth. Now, you don't have to open it up to John 11:4. I'll tell you what it says. Speaking of Lazarus, Jesus said concerning Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God. Hey, I knew. And instantly, I also knew, though I heard nothing, that I had been given a gift of healing to take to him. I knew. This part was just within my spirit. I knew. Listen, at that time, faith welled up. There was nothing that could not be accomplished at that moment in my heart. Nothing seemed impossible at that moment. I hopped out of that car and I charged into that hospital. I want to see Jack Flatt. He's down in intensive care. I head down to intensive care. And being a minister for me is kind of like Paul being a Roman citizen. It's one of those things. I don't ever, you know, tell too many people I'm ordained, except you guys know, most of you know it now because you've been coming so long. But being ordained Baptist minister is something I kind of use like Paul did being a Roman citizen. If I need it to get in a jail, if I need it to get in a hospital, I produce my ordination papers, you understand. It's something I use when I need it. Otherwise, I keep my mouth shut about it. I minister as a layman, is what I'm saying. I prefer it that way. Because people go, ooh, a man of the cloth, you know. Cloth, yes. Not cloth, you know, cloth. Okay. Now, when I open the door to intensive care, I walk in and it's dreadful. It's an enormous room, and there were beds everywhere. And it was most depressing. It was dehumanizing. Some of the people were so far gone they didn't even have clothes on them. They were just laying there nude, literally, and the tubes sticking everywhere, you know. And it was awful. And the moment I saw that, my faith just fell to my feet. I mean, what I saw with my eyes crushed me. And I tell you that to help you because it's going to, y'all are going to experience this someday, and I want you to understand that's normal. And suddenly a nurse comes up and wants to know, you know, she challenged me. Who are you? What are you doing in here? And I tell her, I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and moreover, specifically, I minister to a man in this room named Jack Flatt. And his family has requested that I come to see him. I understand he's not supposed to live through the night. Can you direct him to... Because I couldn't see Jack lying there. And she pointed me right across the room. She pointed me to a private room that was half glass. You could see into it. And she said, he's in there, right there. And you can go in. And I saw through there, and I could see Jack. And I could see a doctor. And this doctor... There were many tubes going to Jack. And this doctor was fooling with the tubes and injecting various chemicals into the tubes. And... Suddenly, before I left, it just hit me. No matter how bad this looks out here, I don't have a word from God for any of these people that look so pathetic that are defeating my faith. I just have a word for Jack. I have no idea what's going to happen to any of these guys. But Jack Flatt is going to live. And faith in God's word, not faith in faith, not faith in me, but faith to remember what I had heard. And I go in. Jack had been in a coma. The moment I walked in, he opened his eyes. What a surreptitious surprise. I said, Jack, do you know who I am? He said, yeah, your brother Floyd. I said, right. I said, and very rapidly, I told him the story that I took a lot longer to tell you. And I said, Jack, I know you're sick. I know you feel terrible. I know you feel weak right now, but it doesn't matter. Because Jesus has sent healing to you. And I used a little wisdom. I knew that doctor would come unglued if I pulled oil out and put on Jack. See, you don't need oil. There are other scriptures. Mark 16. I didn't even have to touch him, but it did. I said, Jack, just receive your healing from Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I said, Jack, I'm sorry. I'm late for an appointment. I'll be back.